Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, good Saturday afternoon, and I'm not Gary Wellings. I'm Ed Bondarenka. Gary is at the gala premiere of How to Kill 14 People Without
Saying a Word.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the guy who said that word, that's my friend Alex Wassel. He's your friend, too. You know, you can talk to us today. We're your friends. You can call us at 734-822-1600. You know, join the conversation. But before we start off, we want to talk about our mission statement here. We are the Drift Radio Show, and we are a product of thedailydrift.com, which is where you want to go for
the news you need to know.
Boy, you're a pro. You're a radio pro.
Absolutely.
Yes. And also brought to you by the Current newspaper, your place to go for news in the Livingston County, Whitmore Lake, Pinckney, Brighton, South Lyon area. And the Current's brought to you by advertisers who are really good people, community-minded people, people you can trust. And we'd like to talk to you about Smart Auto Repair. It's at 10570 Hall Road, Whitmore Lake, Michigan. It's run by Sid and Sue. And, you know, every month they publish a column in the Current newspaper that has tips on auto repair, things you need to look at. And they're a very trustworthy auto repairman. And you need to, you know, if you're in that area and you need something done and you're looking for somebody to do it, somebody you can trust, you need to check out Sid and Sue at Smart Auto Repair. And they can be reached at 810-231-9655 or email smartauto@hotmail.com. And that's that for that. We're trying to be as professional as we can here, so I'm not humming and hawing. I'm saying stuff like, that's that for that. So we have a number of topics we want to talk to you about today. And I see we have a phone call already, but I don't have a name associated with it. So, you know, like at home, when the caller ID says unknown, I don't answer it.
For all me neither.
Yes, a paid political robocall.
It could be a Democratic political robocall. Let's find out.
Well, let's see now. Oh, it's Martin Church who's running for office. And Derek, would you bring Martin on, please?
Okay.
Oh, there. Hey, Martin, how you doing?
Oh, I'm having a fantastic day.
Oh, that's
out
good.
Here enjoying this nice Michigan weather.
What part of Michigan are you in right now?
Frankenmuth.
It's okay. A great place.
Well, it's a great place. So the weather doesn't matter with the weather. Just go in and buy chicken. You'll be good, right?
No, we're out camping, so always a good time.
Okay, tell us about the office you're running for, sir.
Well, I'm running for the Michigan State Senate for Eastern Ouachita County. Running to kind of replace Mr. Irwin, who's running up to replace Rebecca Warren.
Okay.
And I'm more of the conservative. I believe in bringing things back to the family, to local community. Get the state out of the business of running the local community.
Well, seeing as how you're a personal friend of mine and you attend my Bible study, you know, I think I'm tended to endorse you. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that on air, so I won't give you an endorsement, right? I'll just say, vote for you.
Yeah.
So, folks, that's Martin Church. If you see him on your ballot and he's there, you know, as an option for you to choose, he's one of those many Republicans you should be voting for this upcoming November 6th, which is, let's see, November 6th is for the Republicans and November 7th for the Democrats, right?
I think it's December 7th for them.
December 7th, the day of infamy. That's the day the Democrats will vote, yes. So, Martin, anything else you'd like to say? Any upcoming events?
Right now, the biggest one is Election Day. Get out, vote. You know, I'm... Personally, I'm going no on all the proposals, but you got to go through and start doing your research.
Well, we're going to help people do research on the proposals shortly. Yep.
Sounds good. Also, look for those write-ins, such as in the city of Ipsy, we have some very liberal people running, but the conservatives are running on a write-in platform.
Well, we need names, because I can't write in, you know, a name I don't know. Got one?
One is Ann Brown.
And what are we writing her in for? Because that would be very important, too.
Yeah. Mayor of the city of Ypsilanti.
Okay. Good luck with that. Okay.
You know, she's more of a moderate, but she's a lot more conservative than the person who looks like Skull Winnet.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to beseech any candidate that tries.
Right.
All righty. Yep.
My personal opinion, if you don't like what's going on, get involved.
Hey, that's an idea. Well, that's what you're doing, isn't it?
Right.
Great. And
you know,
thank you for
it. You can sit there and complain, or you can get out and do something.
That sounds good.
After the election, then we got to sit down and start figuring out how we're going to survive.
Hey, doggone, you've thought this through, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
All right, Martin. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you.
All right. You have a good one.
All right. Enjoy your camping. So that was Martin Church. If you are running for office and you'd like to call in and tell us about why we should vote for you and where we should vote for you, feel free to call. It's 734-822-1600.
Yep, and your programs, too. We want to hear about it.
Yep. So do you know anybody running for office?
Well, not personally, but
okay.
But obviously I'm keeping tabs on things. It's going to be mostly a red wave. I'm voting strictly Republican this time. I'm not going to vote for any protest candidates. I'm not going to go to any third parties. We got to defeat the Democrats, and the way to do that is to vote strictly Republican, and that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. So Martin mentioned the proposals, and as part of today's show, I thought we might mention the proposals and actually discuss them a little. And if there's something you want to put forth as a remark or a comment on the proposals and how you feel they should be voted for, feel free to call in. Once again, 734-822-1600. Derek, I'm giving out the right phone number, right? Because I don't see the phone banks lighting up.
Yeah, you've got the right number.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks. So, proposal one. Now, I got this off of M-Line. Somebody named Emily Lawler put this together, so I want to give credit where credit's due. And it's a complete guide to Michigan's three ballot proposals. And proposal one says what you will see on the ballot. A proposed initiated law to authorize and legalize possession, use, and cultivation of marijuana products by individuals who are at least 21 years of age and older, and commercial sales of marijuana through state-licensed retailers. That would allow individuals 21 and older to purchase, like we just said, impose a 10-ounce limit for marijuana kept at residences, and require amounts over 2.5 ounces to be secured in locked containers. Wow. I don't even have to keep my ammunition secured in locked containers. Create a state we need a state licensing system.
Absolutely.
Create a state licensing system for marijuana businesses and allow municipalities to ban or restrict them. Now, I find that interesting, and we can talk about that in a minute, because I know that state law is supposed to preempt municipal law in the event of, like, handguns. A city cannot have a law about firearms that overrides a state law, so that you can't inadvertently drive into Ann Arbor and find out that they're going to pull you over and your CPL doesn't count there and you end up in prison. So it's interesting here that for marijuana, city laws could override. I mean, you could.
Well, I think the key thing here is it's under this proposal, and if it passes, then it'll be state law.
Well, that's state law that cities can override state law. So that's what
Absolutely.
You're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So let me get this straight then, and I like to stay straight. You know, like, I used to smoke heavily. I used to smoke. It was an expensive habit. My clothes would smell. I'm just glad I never tried that tobacco, because I hear that stuff will kill you.
Right.
But I know what it's like to go through life in a fog, and I did that for a few years. And I don't recommend it, and I don't think it's a pattern to emulate, and I don't think it's something that should be encouraged by advertising and marketing, which is exactly what would happen under this law, right? All of a sudden, buy a new and improved. What would be a brand name for weed? I can't even, you know?
I don't know, but I think an important point to make is that the new marijuana products that are out there are, you know, hundreds of times stronger than the stuff back in the 60s and 70s. You know, it was like in the 60s and 70s, you were smoking your lawn almost. But these days, the active ingredient is way up there, and I have to think that it's going to affect young people's lives a lot worse than they did the young people in the 60s and 70s.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. When I was working in Italy back in the 70s, we were driving outside of Naples with some friends, and we saw a huge bushes of marijuana, obvious marijuana. We came back that night with beer cases and machetes, and we cut it all down as much as we could stuff in the beer cases, and we brought it back, and we dried it out, and it wouldn't get a fly high. It was so disappointing.
It would make good rope, though, you know.
Well,
it would
make good rope, but yeah, what it turned products. Out was it, right. It would make good bird seed,
right.
And that's why they were growing it was – it turns out the Italians would turn a blind eye to certain places where it was grown because the old people would grow it for bird seed. And I remember back in the day that you could, it was said that you could buy Hartz Mountain bird seed and pick out the marijuana seeds and grow your own.
Huh.
Yeah, until they, you know, that became an issue. So, and you couldn't do it anymore because it made the canaries sing.
So are you saying, Ed, that the recreational marijuana proposal is for the birds?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I got to tell you, I never improved my singing voice either. So I don't, you know. Well, let's see now. Who's this guy? I recognize that name. Gary Wellens. He should be at the movie theater. Derek, would you have Gary join us online? I don't want to say put him on because that has a different connotation.
Hey, Ed. What's going on? Hey, Alex.
Hey, Gary.
Dude, was the theater that boring that you came out to talk to us?
No. We haven't started yet, but the theater is packed. It looks to me like more than a sold-out crowd.
Oh, good.
And, and it's good. So how to kill 14 people without saying a word. Looks like it's a sellout for the premiere.
I talked. I'm sorry.
It's surprisingly a very young crowd. I was just talking with Aaron a minute ago, and he said the same thing. It's like, wow, what a nice, it's a mixture, but a lot of younger people that I would not have expected. So, yeah, great turnout.
Well, then we can talk about it next week. And I had actually talked to Nick Stumphauser. I talked to him about coming on next week. And I said I had to run it by you, so I'm running it by you right now. You want to have him come on next week? All right,
yeah,
sounds good. We can discuss the movie.
I just talked to Nick's mom and congratulated her for raising such a great, well-rounded, common-sense kid.
I don't know. He's an overachiever.
He's almost a full. Well, he is a full adult, right? But just an amazing turnout here in Hall at the historic Hall Theater. So really awesome, and looking forward. I brought my 14-year-old. Had a buddy of mine bring his 16-year-old because they're going to try and combat the liberal indoctrination that they're getting in their high schools right now.
Excellent. Excellent work on your part then, too. I like that. So
we're doing it. We're doing the best we can, you know.
I think the premise of the movie is great. I mean, the idea that because of political correctness, people in San Bernardino looked the other way and didn't contact the authorities. There was that massacre and the resulting loss of life, and something we all have to fight against.
Yeah, because they didn't want to look bad.
Right.
Yeah, well, here's what's funny. So even here at the theater, they didn't want to put the title of the movie out front because they were worried about how it would look. How to kill 14 people without saying a word.
When Nick
Ed and I had this discussion with The Current, right?
Yeah.
So even we are not infallible. We worry so much because it's literally gotten to the point where you and I and everyone can't say the words that we want to say anymore because we're worried about the retribution. And the hell with that. That's not right. We should not be worried about our freedom of speech.
I remember when Nick first approached me about doing an article in The Current, I said, I think I mentioned it to you, like, there's no way I'm putting a byline or a headline, how to kill 14 people in The Current. We get enough bad letters as it is.
No, that's just a subhead. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, make sure people, you can buy this online for $10 online and watch it at home after like 8 o'clock tonight, I think, maybe. Go to nickstumphauser.com, click on the link for how to kill 14 people without saying a word, and you'll be able to buy it and watch it online tonight at home.
That's what I'll be doing. Yep.
Me too.
Oh, good, good. We have a good discussion of it next week.
Yeah, and we've got a good turnout of people here. I'm looking at Lana Theis right now from one of our state reps here in the state of Michigan. And so I want to just remind people to make sure that voting time is coming very quickly. Please, people, vote Republican. Please.
Yep. Yep. I couldn't have said any better myself. Could you, Alex?
Not at all.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much for filling in while I'm gone.
Well, thanks for calling in.
All right.
Talk to you later, Gary.
Bye now.
Bye.
Another interesting caller who actually knows the phone number and calls in. You know, so let him be an example for the rest of you. Call in, have something interesting to say, and join the conversation.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So back to this ballot proposal. Like I said, it's so odd here. I'm referencing some of our state laws regarding firearms, where we don't require people to keep their guns even locked up in their homes, much less their ammunition, so it's readily available. And here yet a certain amount of pot, over 2.5 ounces, I remember 2.5 ounces. That's like two baggy sandwich bags, right?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Well, you know, you might want to keep that. Well, it used to be you want to keep that locked up anyhow because somebody might steal it. That's
well,
the what costs.
Well, Ed, I have a question. Who's going to enforce the lock up your baggie rule?
That's a good idea. That's a good question. Wow. I assume that's to keep the kids out of it, too. I mean, do we force people to lock up their liquor cabinets?
Not really.
So what is it about pot that local municipalities get to overrule state law if they want? So, like, if I were driving through, and I'm trying to think what a conservative town in this state might be. It's not Ann Arbor. It's not Ypsilanti.
Plymouth a little bit.
Plymouth? Okay. Well, maybe Dearborn. Maybe Dearborn would go anti-pot with the Muslim. No, because when I was in Turkey, they all smoked pot, too. So, okay, let's think of someplace. Let's imagine conservative USA, conservative Michigan, USA, and you're driving through, and it's a traffic stop, and the police officer notices you have a bag on your seat. Now, I don't know that there's anything about this law that says you can't smoke while you're driving.
I'm not sure.
Just like alcohol, I mean, we don't allow people to drink while they're driving, but we allow people to have a certain amount of alcohol in their system. There's nothing in this law that I see would keep people from smoking while they're driving.
Well, I think the main idea is if you're impaired while you're driving, and that's a little more serious topic because obviously you posted some things on Facebook, and I've seen some things where we'll say Colorado, like the amount of
traffic accidents
and deaths with people that are driving around with marijuana in their system. It doesn't help you one bit, you know. And obviously, it doesn't help children who will be able to access this stuff. You know, develop normally.
Like a friend of mine said, though, you know, one thing about pot smokers, they have a tendency to drive slower.
Yeah, right. And think slower and do everything slower.
Yep. Well, see, we've got Gary from Hazel Park online. So let's go with Gary from Hazel Park, brother.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I'm out here at the premiere also, and one of the things I want to talk about is this whole notion of silencing of America. Now, I can't help thinking about it, but whenever I hear about this, I always hearken back to the occupation of France and Paris directly during the World War II, because Paris was known as the silent city because everybody was afraid to talk to anybody because everybody was dealing with the Nazis or going to ratch out. So it was just a silent place. And that's what our nation's coming to, where people are just afraid to talk the truth. They're afraid to say anything, because even a title like 14 Ways to Kill Somebody Without Talking becomes, controversial.
Yeah, well, like we were saying, I think it was last week, we were talking about it, and we were talking about the term, when Nick was here, we were talking about the term political correctness. That comes from the Soviet Union, and the whole concept
Absolutely.
Of you have to be politically correct. In other words, you have to follow the Communist Party dictates in what you say. If you violate that, you're in trouble. So if PC can lead towards a totalitarian society, as you describe.
Well, Gary, I think one of the problems is that they're just silencing one side of the argument. They're not silencing both sides. You know, they're going after conservative speech against patriotic Americans who are trying to do the best by their country, and they're trying to silence us. But obviously, it's not working. We've got to speak out, and you're calling attention to the issue right now.
Yeah.
Well, you better believe it.
You know, that movie hasn't started yet?
No, but it should be starting pretty soon, obviously.
Okay.
But I'm going to go back inside and see what's going on. But
did you get good
guys.
Seats? Did you get good seats?
Yeah, I'm sitting with Father Tomas.
Oh, really? Really, yeah, from the church in, is that Heartland?
Yeah, in Heartland, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I hear him on the radio advertising here on Wham. That's great. Oh, okay, great, great. All right. Well, we look forward to hearing from you next week also, calling in and when we have a discussion about this movie, because obviously Alex and I will have watched it. You'll have seen it, and Gary will have seen it, and we'll discuss it. Thanks for calling
in. You better
in.
Believe it. All right, brother. Bye now.
All right, see you. Bye. Hey, and we've got Jimmy from Manchester about to call in. And so, Jimmy, go ahead. I think you're going to talk about Proposal 2. I would expect that.
Yeah, well, just a light and quick note on Proposal 1. You got to lock up
marijuana. Oh, I'm sorry,
marijuana.
I said 2. Yeah, you're right.
Well, both. But you got to lock up your marijuana, but they don't say anything about your opioids that are prescription drugs. They don't care if the kids get into those.
Yeah, that's true. I'm thinking
amazing.
Ammo, and I didn't even think about opioids. You're absolutely right there. Jimmy, I apologize. I actually thought you're kind of a libertarian kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
I kind of thought you were going to be in favor of Proposal 1.
I'm against it because of what the state is going to do with it. It's basically just to bring in big business. They want to destroy small people like my wife and I. We don't do it anymore, but we did. We used to grow some for a couple patients, and we lost our patients. And, you know, we were just providers. That's all we were. We didn't use. We just provided it.
I have a friend whose son does that. Yeah,
And that's medical.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was for medical, but they were going to make it recreational. And what they're doing is basically they're just opening the door for companies like Winston-Salem and Marlboro and people like that, Philip Morris and people like that to get in there on it, and including, and not let's not forget about their big buddies, the drug companies.
Did you want to? We're about to run into the hard break. Was there anything more you want to say along these lines? Because you've provoked something there already, and if so, we'd hold you over. If not, we'll just keep talking about it afterwards.
Sure. I could discuss more.
All right, hang in there, brother. We'll talk to you after the break. And it looks like I'm filling about 30 seconds until then. So.
Well, I got an idea.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, you were saying about how big business, or Jimmy was talking about how big business interests may benefit from this proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's also where you get money for promoting this campaign. You know, it's not the average stoner out there that's sending in $100 or so for the signs.
It just kills me. If you even show somebody smoking a cigarette in a movie anymore, you get blasted unless it's historical purposes or something. You know, I'm surprised they're not going back and touching up bogey movies on TCM to erase the smoking. But, you know, the thought that now, okay, well, you can't smoke cigarettes, but you can smoke pot to your heart's content.
Amazing.
We're still talking about health issues here. All right, well. There's the music. We'll talk to you after the break. And like the gentleman before you, call in 673-482-1600. See you soon.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Veyrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Carol McHugh. There are multiple fatalities, several others wounded, including three police officers, during a mass shooting in Pittsburgh at the Tree of Life Synagogue.
Local station KDKA reported that the gunman opened fire inside the synagogue, shouting, "All Jews must die." We're told that shooting happened in the basement, and people were found in the atrium and in the basement of the building.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich, the shooter's in custody. President Trump says whoever did this should pay with their life.
And I think they should very much bring the death penalty into vogue. Anybody that does a thing like this to innocent people that are in temple or in church, we have the, so many incidents with churches, they should really suffer the ultimate price.
President Trump outside Air Force One en route to a political rally in the Midwest. This is Fox News.
Every day, 365 days a year, you open and close your garage door. You hardly even think about your garage door until it stops working. Locally owned and operated, Plymouth Door staff has experience installing and servicing garage doors, openers, and storm doors from leading door manufacturers since 1977. Looking to purchase a new garage door or storm door? Plymouth Door can handle any make and model with expert installation and incredible warranty protection. Their technicians are licensed and insured. Plymouth Door is conveniently located at 728 South Main Street near downtown Plymouth. Stop in, see the showroom, and get inspired to beautify your home. Plymouth Door has a walk-in parts department with thousands of parts in stock available for the do-it-yourselfer.
Plymouth Door's got the best service, warranty, and prices. Visit PlymouthDoor.com. Call 734-459-3667. Plymouth Door, where the service and quality come home.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. "This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
I gotta talk to that guy. My name's not Gary Wellings. I'm Ed Bondarenka. Gary's off enjoying his afternoon at the movies.
Oh, at the premiere.
Yeah, at the premiere of 14 Ways.
To kill people without saying a word?
Yes. Nick Stumpauser's movie. In Howell, at the premiere, it's probably too late for you to get there and watch it. So, enjoy vicariously. Gary's going to tell us about it next week. So you're back with the Drift radio show with Ed Bondarenka and Alex Wassel, filling in for the aforementioned Gary. And if you are looking for some place to put your kids for good education, you must consider Cheryl Stockwell Preparatory Academy. It's a charter school. It's at 810-225-9940. It's got the private school feel. It's tuition-free. I don't know how they get away with that. But, hey, take advantage of it. You want a good education for your kids? Look them up on the currentonline.com. You'll see the ad there or in the paper, The Current. And once again, 810-225-9940. Check them out if you are in the Brighton area, in the Livingston County area, and you want to do right by your children. There you go. That's what you need to do. So we are back. We're actually talking about Proposal 1. I wonder if we'll even get as far as Proposal 3 at this point.
Well, let's keep rolling then.
All right. We've got Jimmy from Manchester joined us. Jimmy, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So during the break, Pastor Rick came in and mentioned something that Dick had mentioned in the previous show that I hadn't heard because I was stuck at work prior to the show, so I didn't get to listen to the first hour of his show. And that was that this is still federally prohibited.
Right. Yes, it is. So it's what they're doing is they're really pushing the whole Tenth Amendment thing. And this is perfect. This is right up the liberals' alley because they love to say Tenth Amendment when it has to do with something like this. But if it has to do with our voting rights,
exactly,
or Second something Amendment. Like that, no, you're a neo-Confederate then.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
And we need the real education on the Tenth, Ninth, and Tenth Amendment. That's for sure.
Well, that's a whole argument in itself right there, discussion that I'm looking forward to getting into. I'd like to do a whole show on it sometime. And that's about, you know, the conservative view of the Constitution versus the liberal view of the Constitution. And I recommend, there's a great article out in Imprimis right now, Imprimis. Check it out at Hillsdale. It's online. It's free. I get it delivered every day to my house and every month to my house. And there's a great article about that right now, about the Cold Civil War and the difference between the left and the right concerning our governance and what the philosophy is that motivates what they're doing. And it's right up your alley. It's exactly what you were saying. Take advantage of a law when you want to, but don't make that a clear-cut law. Make it something that just fits what you want to do at the moment.
Right. It's both sides. In reality, are very hypocritical in a lot of ways.
Spoken where like a true
like
libertarian.
Me, I'm not. You know, I'm not hypocritical at all. Because I mean, the way I look at it is, if somebody wants to use something that they grow in their garden, on their own property, for their own purposes, what business is it of anybody else's? It's not. And I don't care if the federal government or the state or whoever.
I have a religious. And when I say religious, I don't mean I burn incense in front of an altar, but I have a faith-based, scriptural-based directive in my life that I won't use mind-altering chemicals anymore for recreational purposes anyhow. I mean, my dad used to say, geez, I think if you could unscrew the top of your head off and play with your brain, you would. And I think he was right. You know, I'd drop acid or you know, smoke hash or do whatever I want. And I look back on those days and I think, what an idiot. I remember when somebody laced my pot. My brother did it to me, the one I don't talk to anymore. He laced my pot with some animal tranquilizer. I thought, where did you get this? Now I understand today's pot is exactly like that. It's that strong. But I said all that to say I somewhat agree with you. I would rather see decriminalization. I would rather see a decriminalization of pot than a legalization. Because
yes.
With decriminalization, it's like you're discussing. You'll do it in your house. You'll do it in your backyard. And, you know, somebody, you're not bothering anybody else. If it's like any other deal. If you go out impaired on the streets and you hurt somebody, you're impaired. It's just like alcohol. But at least nobody's marketing it at you and your kids. And it doesn't, it's not gummy flavored. It's not a liquid version in your Coca-Cola. And you get what I'm saying?
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with these large companies are going to control everything like they always do. When Trump passed the Right to Try Act, they freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
My God, it was the most horrible thing in the world. You got a dying person and they're going to try some weird thing, some treatment from Japan or someplace.
Right.
Why not? What is the... I don't understand. Well, here's the understand part. The companies that make these drugs have no... They don't want to cure you because healthy people don't buy drugs.
Right.
I've heard that say that's the motivation for vaccinization, that vaccination actually causes more problems and more opportunity to sell more cures than were necessary before the vaccination. I'm not saying I subscribe to that, folks. I'm saying I've heard that.
Well, treatment basically bumps up profits. If they cure you, you know, the profits go away.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Jimmy, right. Anything
and,
else?
And they run around and call Trump a fascist and all of these things. And as far as I'm concerned, he's an anti-fascist. I think we've lived in a fascist country for a very long time, but in reverse. It's the large companies that are controlling the state instead of the other way around.
Are you saying that Trump is Antifa?
No, he's saying
I am. I'm saying that Trump is the embodiment of what Antifa should be.
Yes, you're right. You're right. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Jimmy. I appreciate your perspective. Very good talking to you. You have a blessed day, man.
Yep. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. Well, we got a lit up board.
How about that?
Do you want to make a comment before we take a call?
No, let's get a call.
All right. Well, let's go on to next in line is Elaine from Ypsilanti. And Jasmine, we see you there.
Hello.
Hi, Elaine. How you doing?
Oh, good. And I'm glad to hear Jasmine calling in. I look forward to her comments. thank you for taking my call. The marijuana deal, I heard Patrick Kobach bring up the idea, well, if that's passed, car insurance, in his estimation, car insurance premiums are going to be, if you call it premiums, I don't want you to call it, will be going up.
Well, they're already through the roof, so, you know, they go through the stratosphere.
I got that. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I got that. But he's saying they'll be going up more.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe you. Yes, that's a good point. That's absolutely good.
With the very nature of impairment, we got enough people being killed already with marijuana in their system. Besides, Colorado and California both saying, well, the money they got is somewhat being used up by the police because there's more crime.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. And speaking of crime, one thing I'd heard about Colorado's experiment with legalization was that the federal laws that prohibit marijuana use actually prescribe banks from dealing with head shops, you know, the dispensaries or whatever you call them. So that basically they become a cash operation. And boy, there's one element in society that actually thrives on cash operations. They just love an opportunity to push some cash through that operation.
Organized crime.
Exactly, from their other operations.
Right.
So, you know, it's just not a good thing. I just can't see a lot of good coming out of this. It's just, I can understand a lot of young hipsters saying, oh, yeah, man, I get to buy pot. You know, let's see what happens in Canada. I mean, are you kidding me? The whole country?
Just vote no, and I understand why it's on the ballot to drive
Democrat voters.
Drive Democrat voters to show up.
This might be a somewhat hard thing to say, but this woman, Linda Hughes, I heard from Theron, she's dead set against this. And I figure this woman was as smart as she could be. And people who are really smart, I like to follow their advice.
There you go. Yeah, Linda was a sweetheart. And, words to live by from Linda Hughes, yes. So anything else, Elaine?
I know, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling. It's always good to hear from you. And Derek, could we listen to Jasmine for a bit from Chicago? I mean, is this our new FM signal now that we reach Chicago? No. Hi, Jasmine.
Actually, I listened through it on my phone.
Excellent. So do I.
So, yeah, but a couple of things. Number one, I don't think the people that are, you know, legalizing the pot really know what they're doing because, you know, on a personal note, I worked in an emergency room for almost 5 years, and the level of just craziness that would come in, it wasn't so much people with the pot as much as people coming in with pot that was laced with other things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it very rarely was it just like someone on organic, you know?
Oh, yeah, like my brother did to me with the what we used to call PH... PHP or something like that. It was an animal tranquilizer.
PCP.
PCP, that's it. Yeah, well, it's been 30, 40 years, yeah. But Alex, you're right on top of that.
Just because I know about it doesn't mean I did it.
All right, good. Yep.
Well, at the time, I remember that people would come in and, you know, I would have to go and talk to them because I was working in the billing department and I would have to get their information. And half the time, we would put them in what was called the pink room, which was, you know, for psych patients, because they were freaking out. They were seeing things and, you know, having hallucinations. And it wasn't from, like I said, organic grass. They bought it on the street, so they had no idea what they were actually smoking.
So you're saying the legalization would actually retract some of that or rebate some of that from happening, that people would get purer pot?
Possibly. But, again, you know, when money's involved, a lot of money, you know, I think that people will look the other way regardless, you know.
So are you for or against? I'm not clear here.
She's against, I believe.
I'm against.
Okay.
I mean, I'm someone that has pretty much tried every drug known to man, except anything that has to be shot up, I just don't get.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else I've tried, and nothing has ever really taken with me. So, you know, I just think it's a waste of time. And I, you know, so, and most young people today, I mean, they're pretty much brain dead. If you watch, you know, Will Witt or any of those people that I follow, and you look at some of these people on college campuses, I mean, they're already half fried, and
well,
that's without the drugs.
And that's a point I made with Janice Daniels on Abolitionist Roundtable, I think last week, was that it's in the Democrat Party interest, it's in any totalitarian government interest to keep the electorate as sedated and out of touch as possible.
1984, Victory Gin.
There you go.
Yeah, yep. You know, it's funny, but it's true.
Yeah, yeah, it's humorous.
And the other issue I wanted to talk about was in Illinois, you know, with the midterms coming up, we have basically, I hate to say it, but we're basically screwed either way because we've got Pritzker running for governor against Raumer, and neither one, even though one considers himself a Republican, neither one is a conservative. Raumer, I think, is going to be out of there because he ran on a platform of conservatism and he betrayed everyone who voted for him. He, you know, he made Illinois a sanctuary state a couple of weeks ago. He also did not cut Planned Parenthood like he said he was going to. And the worst offense, he actually signed an order making it officially Barack Obama Day in August. I mean,
well, yeah, you are screwed. You are screwed. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but I will say, anyone who's listening from Illinois, I voted for Cass Jackson, who's a libertarian, only because I was basically screwed. You know, I had no other choice.
Okay.
But as far as Senate races and stuff like that, I'm going red down the line.
Excellent, Jasmine. And you would recommend that to anybody, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All righty.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in.
We cannot have Maxine Waters in charge of financial stuff. Come on.
Or Nancy as speaker again. People got to think this through. I mean, sitting home is to me, is just as bad.
Not an option.
Yeah. Yep. We just had Pastor Rick come in. So unless you want to speak to Jasmine in particular.
No, I had another point I
wanted
to make.
Then, Jazz, how about we talk to you again later?
Okay.
May I call you Jazz? I'm sorry. Was that too personal?
No, that's fine.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
it. As long as you don't give up my phone number, we're fine.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you very much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Pastor Rick, before we get to Joe from Wyandotte.
Okay, just real quick, 2 points. I was just reading in the paper that the liberals are sending in from out of state tons of money for Proposal 2. Because this is a big draw to get Democrats out to vote. This is the same purpose for Proposal 1, by the way, is to get the young people out to vote. So here's what I have to say.
And Proposal 2 is the gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering. And it actually isn't gerrymandering. What it is a huge waste of our money for a board that gets to vote or give their own raises and everything else. There's no control over it.
It gets to gerrymander anyhow.
Yes.
There's nothing. When we say gerrymander, like
there
it's
is
a bad
no gerrymandering.
Word, there's district drawing by our representatives,
right,
as opposed to by a bunch of bureaucrats.
And
but
that,
it's still going to have the same effect. Am I right?
Well, actually, it'll be worse because the bureaucrats are going to literally be liberals picked out of a hat, but liberals.
Yes.
And so it'll constantly be liberals on there that will always be able to put in their own raises and everything else. So just what I have to say about this is all three proposals are there for one purpose, and that's to pull out the liberal vote.
Mm-hmm.
If the conservatives sit back and say, we've got this, and like they always do at midterms, mm-hmm. once they get their president and they sit back, if they sit back, we are going to end up with a Democratic governor. We're going to end up with a Democratic senator again. We're going to end up – Democrats are going to have that blue wave.
Mm-hmm.
If the people get back and says it's not going to happen, we're going to – the same people that voted in 2016 are going to get out and vote in 2018. We have this won. But we only have it won if we show up to vote, because they're pulling out all stops to pull in a lot of people that didn't vote in 2016.
Yeah, and then that
such
brings
as,
up,
hey, how about you get to smoke pot? Well, guess what, folks? If you get caught smoking pot and it's in your blood system and you work for a federal company, you get busted and fired. Just because the state says it's legal, and we talked about this during your break, just because the state says it's legal doesn't make it federally legal. It's still a felony.
Yeah. Yep, and like you were saying, and if it's a felony, if you get busted on a felony, a federal felony, you lose your gun rights.
You lose your gun rights and in some states, voting rights.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks for that. I appreciate that.
All right.
We got Joe from Wyandotte calling in, and I think he wants to talk about Debbie Stabenow. But before that, I want to make sure I get something in because Joe has a tendency to deflect us from our topic to his topic. And I don't mind that, but I want to get in on Joe, give me a second here, brother. Proposal 3. There hasn't been a lot of talk about Proposal 3. And basically, Proposal 3 says that you will be automatically registered to vote when you get your driver's license, which sounds like what they did in California. That's very close to, hey, you get a driver's license, how would you like to vote too? Not a bad idea. Right now, people do register to vote when they get their driver's license, but they're American citizens when they do, and they're proving that. I'm really kind of concerned about where this is going. No reason absentee voting, which I have a problem with. And then straight ticket voting, which I don't mind straight ticket voting. I mean, the Republicans in general just got this law approved that says you can't straight ticket vote. And that's to keep people from being mindless in their voting. But really, there's no way. We're telling everybody here to vote Republican. Do not vote for a single Democrat. So we're asking everybody here in our audience to vote straight Republican, straight ticket. But when you get to what do you think, Alex, about early voting? In general, I'm opposed to it myself.
I'm opposed to it because you could get some good information right before you vote, and that may swing some
like
people.
My candidate, my opponent here, yeah, murdered his wife, and we just found out, you know, and you got 60% of the vote in early voting already.
Yeah, my opposition to 3 is it allows same day registration for voting. I'm sorry. You need time to look at the information,
yes,
to vet people.
Yep.
And folks, if you can't get out and register a month before the election,
and it's not important to you.
Right.
The most important thing you have in this country is your vote. Cherish it. Treat it like it's one of the most important things, rights you have as a citizen. That's what our government is predicated on, is a Republican form of government where you get the vote and choose your representatives. And we don't want to water that down.
No, this proposal is wrong, and it should be voted down.
Okay. Let's see what Joe has to say. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, good. I didn't hang up on you.
Crime is actually up in Colorado, and that's not a coincidence. Accidents, auto accidents are up in Colorado. It's not just a coincidence. The cash thing, please. The black market is not going away. Your local drug dealer still will not have the overhead of a building and insurance and employees and having to pass sales tax onto you. So they'll still be cheaper. So the majority of people currently smoking will still use their drug dealer. Some other people who hadn't been smoking just because it wasn't illegal, or it was illegal, may go to the pot shops. But yeah, I was calling about the Debbie Stabenow ads, like I had emailed you on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pack out of Virginia that is finally going at her and calling her out, accusing her of supporting black genocide because she supports Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, and it's about time somebody goes at her. John James is being too nice. She's got ads all over TV that need to be refuted and challenged. The manure she's saying in there, and I just thank God. I wish this ad could play on your station and others.
Well, you know, we'll just give it a plug right now. Anyhow, folks, don't buy this Debbie Stabenow. I mean, Joe, your page against Debbie Stabenow has been a real source of information on Facebook. Folks, Joe, plug it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Debbie. Not.
Yes.
You know, sarcastically. Thanks a lot, Debbie. Not. And yes, you can find a link to that Black Genocide, Debbie supports Black Genocide ad on the Thanks a Lot, Debbie Not Facebook group. I encourage people to check it out and to share it if you're pro-life with anybody who may be, you know, pro-choice. And there's a link to the Walk Away March. I was watching that. I'm at the hospital with my mother. She's in watching the Walk Away March on my phone. That's going on now. Share that link with any Democrats, you know, any liberals that, you know, may be thinking of that you think might have the door open to another point of view and wake up and walk away.
Hey, there are people who change their mind on being liberals. Yep.
I did.
Yep. I did, too, from when I was a very young man. Yep. And when I actually started growing a beard.
I got smarter later in life, Ed.
You know, I don't know if I ever told you the story, but I used to work, Joe, but I worked with Alex at a GM plant about 25 years ago. And Alex was a fairly liberal guy, and we used to get in some heated discussions there. And then when I saw him commenting on one of Theron's posts on Facebook, I messaged him and said, you know, you have the same name as a guy I used to know.
Well, I listened to Theron, that's all.
Story report's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. So anything else, Joe? And you know, that's a great mix you did there. You both stayed on topic and then went off topic. I like that.
Well, you knew I was going to call in on that topic because I had emailed you and Facebooked you about it.
No problem.
And,
I'm always teasing you about that.
I figured I'd weigh in on the proposal one thing, too. We could go on and on about Prop 2, too, also. Alex, and you are right. It's all about getting the liberal vote out, and we have to vote that down. Proposal 2 would put like 3,000 pages of garbage into the Constitution. The Constitution is not meant to have house an amendment of 3,000 pages.
No, that's ridiculous. And you know, and back to 2, how often do we redistrict? After every census, right? Every 10 years? Do we need a full paid staff between 10 years?
No.
No. Vote no, folks. And there you go.
Take care, my friends. I love you.
All right. We love you too, Joe. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. And thanks all of you, the rest of you, for calling in and listening. And Alex, thanks for being here and helping me out. I appreciate that.
It's my pleasure.
All right. And so till next week when we discuss the movie with Gary and Alex and anybody else who saw it. You guys have a blessed week. Thanks for listening.